So I just want a brief recap on what we learned last week. We're on the bracha of the 12th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, which is the bracha called Berachas Haminim, the bracha that we make against the, it's actually a prayer that we pray against the heretics. It's the order of Shemoneh Esrei. It's the 12th bracha, but really it's the 19th, because it was established after the first 18. The first 18 were established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, and the 19th was established later on, as we learned last week, by Ram Gamliel and his Bezin. It was composed by a Tana whose name was Shmuel HaKotan. So, we learned the Gemara last week, and just to recap, there were three opinions in the Gemara as to what the 18 brachas were established corresponding to. Why 18? So, according to the first opinion, it was the 18 brachas correspond to the 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned in the Kapitel and Tehillim of Havul Hashem Bnei Eilim, which we say on Friday night, right before L'Chadoidi. It's basically a Kapitel of praise to Hashem. The second opinion is that it corresponds to the 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned in Kriya Shema. And the third opinion is that it corresponds to the 18 knots in one spine. And we explained that these three opinions really are based on what is Shemoneh Esrei? What is it all about? The first opinion holds that Shemoneh Esrei is about, it's praises to Hashem. And although we do also pray to Hashem in Shemoneh Esrei, and each bracha there's a prayer, but at each bracha ends with a praise. Baruch atah Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, who forgives, who wants tshuva, who bestows knowledge, so on and so forth. What this opinion is telling us is that the main Shemoneh Esrei is the bracha. The prayer is secondary to the bracha. We're really just praising. The main purpose of Shemoneh Esrei is to praise Hashem. Once we're praising Him, we ask also. We ask for our needs as well. The second opinion is, and that's why he says that the 18 brachas correspond to the 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned in the kapitel of Havud Hashem and Eilim, which is a kapitel of total praise. The second opinion that says that it corresponds to the 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned in Kriya Shema, he holds that Shemoneh Esrei is a declaration of Emunah and Bitochen. It's a declaration of our faith and our trust in Hashem. It's an expression of total dependence on Hashem. Hashem, we're totally dependent on you. We know that it's all in your hands. Everything that we have, everything that we need, it's all in your hands. As a result, it is the brachas were established to correspond to the 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned, the Kriya Shema, which is our declaration of Emunah. The third opinion is that it corresponds to the 18 knots in the spine. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who the same Rabbi Shua ben Levi says that when one bows down by Shemoneh Esrei, one needs to bow down until all the knots of his spine bulge. It's because the spine represents a person's posture, a person's image. And when a person, the purpose of Shemoneh Esrei, according to Rabbi Shua ben Levi, is for a person to forfeit themselves totally to Hashem. To mimavatl, to nullify oneself to Hashem. Rabbi Shalom, I'm yours. My entire kaima, my entire posture, I bow down, I prostrate myself to you, I give myself over to you. That is the three opinions. Now, the Gemara goes on to say that, okay, though that describes, that explains why there's 18 brachas. But now we added a 19th bracha. This bracha of Olam Alshinim is a 19th bracha. What was that established? Based on these three answers, what was that established to correspond to? So according to the first opinion, says the Gemara, there are only 18 times that Hashem's name is mentioned in the capital of Avod Hashem, says the Gemara, but there's one time that, yes, it's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, but the name Kael is mentioned once in that capital. Kael HaKavod Hirim, the God of glory has thundered. So the Bracha of Olam Alshinim corresponds to the word Kael in that capital. According to the second opinion, that the Shemoneh Esrei corresponds to the 18 times Hashem's name is mentioned in Kriya Shema, says the Gemara, Olam Alshinim corresponds, we don't have another time Hashem's name is mentioned there, it corresponds to the word Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the word Echad, that is what Olam Alshinim was established to correspond to the word Echad. Yes, it's not Hashem's name, but it's pretty close. Hashem is one. And the third opinion that says that it corresponds to the 18 knots of the spine, now we can't add another knot, says the Gemara, yes, we can. There is there's a chulia ketana shebashadr, there's a small knot in the spine that we weren't counting. Olam Alshinim was established corresponding to that knot. Now, towards the end of the shiur last week, I started going into the deeper meaning of what this all means. How is Olam Alshinim, how does that correspond to Kael, or how does that correspond to Echad, or how does that correspond to the small knot in the spine? So I'd like to go into that now, a little bit, to expound on that a little bit. And I began to mention last week that Hashem's name Kael, which is Aleph Lamed, really represents the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. Aleph, the letter Aleph, represents the Alufa Shel Olam, which is Hashem is the Alufa Shel Olam, the master of the world. Also, Aleph is one. Hashem is one. So Aleph represents the Ribbono Shel Olam. Lamed means Lamed, means to learn. We are the disciples. We are the Ribbono Shel Olam's disciples. So we are represented by the word Lamed, by the letter Lamed. So Aleph Lamed, which is Hashem's name, represents the connection of the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. Now, it only is Hashem's name when we realize that Hashem is primary, He's first, the Aleph is first, and we, the Lamed, are secondary. If we reverse the order and we place ourselves and our needs before Hashem, then the Lamed is before the Aleph. That's not Hashem's name. Quite the contrary. Lamed Aleph means loy, means no. The opinion that says that Shemoneh Esrei corresponds to that first capital, Havod Hashem Ne'elim. Once again, that opinion holds that the whole purpose of Shemoneh Esrei is not the prayers, it's the praises at the end. Of each bracha, there's a praise, Baruch Atah Hashem. That is the main purpose of Shemoneh Esrei. The prayer is secondary. Now, what does that mean? That means that the Ribbono Shel Olam is primary. His praises are primary. Our needs are secondary. Right? Shemoneh Esrei is not about our needs. That's not what it's about. It's not about asking for our needs. It's about praising the Ribbono Shel Olam. Once we're praising the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is the primary focus of Shemoneh Esrei, we'll also put in our needs as well. But we're secondary. The Gemara says on the pasuk we say every day by Kriyat Shema, "V'lo yisosuru achrei levavchem v'achrei enechem." Pasuk says, "Do not follow your heart or your eyes." Say Chazal, "Lo yisosuru achrei levavchem." Don't follow your heart. Zuminus. Following your heart is called minus. It's called heresy. Following your eyes, that's promiscuity. So, we all understand how following our eyes is promiscuity. That's nus. But why is achrei levavchem? Why is that minus? Why following your heart? Why is that heresy? And I believe that following the heart means, at least this is definitely a definition of following the heart, is that a person is invested and totally engrossed in the needs, the desires of their heart. That is what the person is involved in. That's what the person is engrossed in. That's what the person is absorbed in. Instead of using one's mind to focus on what should be our primary focus, which is Avodas Hashem, the person is constantly following their heart, which is their desires and their own needs. And the Gemara considers this minus. Minus is, which means heresy, because it's what it is. It's a form of self-worship. So when we have a bracha against the minim, against heresy, the name of Hashem that really counters heresy, that really counters minus, is Kael, Aleph, and then the Lamed. Because heresy is following your desires, placing yourself before the Divine Shalom. That's what Minus is. The name that counters that, the name of Hashem that represents the antithesis of Minus, is the name Kael, because Kael represents making the Divine Shalom our primary and our self secondary. Now, according to the second opinion of Shimon Esrei, the second opinion of the Gemara, Shimon Esrei is about, it's a expression of emuna and bitoch. Rabbeinu Shleilam, we believe, we have total faith in you, we're totally dependent on you. And once again, last week I mentioned just in passing, there's a B'nai Yisosra. The B'nai Yisosra comments on a pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, where Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu is on the mountain, and unbeknownst to Moshe, down below, Klal Yisrael is worshiping a golden calf. So Hashem tells Moshe on the mountain, Lech Reid. Go, descend. Kishiche samcha, because your nation has been corrupted. So Rashi says on those words, Lech reid, go, descend, says Rashi, Lech reid megedulascha, descend from your greatness. Because your greatness is only in merit of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael has fallen. You should descend from your greatness. Lech reid megedulascha. Says the B'nai Sosra, that if you look into the Sefer Torah, you'll see that the dalit of the word echad is a very big dalit. It's four times the size of a regular letter. If you look at the resh of loisishtachve le'el acher, do not bow down to any other god, the resh of acher is a very big resh, four times the size of a normal letter. Now, echad and acher share the same letters besides the last letter. Aleph ches dalet is echad, and aleph ches resh is acher. The dalet and the resh are a hair's breadth apart from each other. Says the Bnei Sasser, the reason why they're written so big is since it's so easy to make a mistake between Echad and Acher, so the Rebbeinu Shlom said to Moshe, make it real big. I don't want anybody making any mistake over here, because the difference between Echad and Acher is the difference between serving Hashem or serving Avodah, worshiping Avodah Zarah. But what says the Bnei Yisrael, but once Klal Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah anyway, Hashem said to Moshe, Lech Reid, Reish is Reish Dalet. Lech Reid Migdulascha. You might as well make the Reish Dalet smaller, because it didn't work anyway. They made the mistake between the Reish and the Dalet. They're worshipping Avodah Zarah anyway. Lech Reid Migdulascha. You might as well make the Reish and the Dalet small again. That's what Bnei Yisrael says. And he says that the fact that the word Echad and the word Acher are so similar, what that represents is that the difference between serving Hashem and worshiping Avodah Zarah is a very, very thin line. He brings from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, on the pasuk we say, "Ba'kriyash ma'vesaretem va'avadatem liyam acherim." Hisham relchem penivta de'avchem. Be careful lest your heart be seduced. Vesaretem, and you will deviate va'avadatem liyam acherim, and you will worship other gods. Says the Baal Shem Tov, "Vesaretem." That as soon as a person deviates a little bit, immediately it's considered va'avadatem liyam acherim. It's immediately considered worshiping of Avodah Zarah. And the Baal Shem Tov explains that even if a person does a mitzvah for any ulterior motive, in a certain sense, says the Baal Shem Tov, that is Avodah Zarah. Because the person is worshiping the motive. Well, if the person is doing the mitzvah for any ulterior motive, you're no longer worshiping Hashem. You're worshiping the motive. So, Mitoch Shalei Lishma Ba Lishma, Rabbi David is asking, it says Chazal say that a person should do mitzvahs with ulterior motives, because by doing so for ulterior motives, eventually you'll come to do it for the right motive. So the Svarim asked that kasha, and the answer is, it says in the Gemara, Lo Olam Yasek Odom, Mitoch Mitzvahs Afidu Shalei Lishma, Shemitoch Shalei Lishma Ba Lishma. Meaning, that as long as while I am doing the mitzvah for the ulterior motive, I am doing so in order to reach the Shema, that's acceptable. That's already the Shema. But to do so only Shalai Lishma is on my desire. No, so he... No, so Chazal, you know, they learn, the Chassidish Svarim learn, that it has to be with that intention that is what Chazal are telling us. That it has to be done with the intention of reaching the Shema.
But if that's the case, so say something like appointing Shabbos. So, you know, you're saying that it has to be done with the intent of doing the Ratzon of Hashem and not just because
right.
I like Shalom.
Right. Or it is a mitzvah to enjoy the Shalom on Shabbos. So don't do it for yourself. Do it for, you don't do it all, you don't eat Shalom all week, do you?
No.
Sure. Well, so why are you doing it on Shabbos? You're doing it because Hashem said so. Okay.
Would you go even listening to music? In other words, if you're listening to music because you enjoy, you know, the feelings it creates.
Okay, there are two things. We could get into the whole shmooze, yeah. But right now, what the Baal Shem Tov is saying, Baal Shem Tov does include that, but we don't have to go that deep. Right, the Baal Shem Tov is saying is that when you're doing a mitzvah, which is a form of worship, only worship Hashem. If you're doing something that's not a form of worship, you're listening to music to enjoy yourself, then you're not worshiping yourself. You're not worshiping anything. Right, when you're worshiping, a mitzvah is a form of worship. You're doing a mitzvah, shaloi l'shma, and you're worshiping a motive. That is why, says the B'nai Soschar, that the word echad and the word acher are so similar to each other. Because you can have two people doing exactly the same thing. One of them is serving Hashem, one of them is worshiping Avodah Zarah. Just a hair's breadth away from each other. So in a certain sense, what is the definition of meanness? What is the definition of heresy? Heresy could be as simple as having an ulterior motive. So the word in Kriya Shema that is the antithesis of Olam Alshinim is echad. So when the Gemara says, what is Olam Alshinim? Which name of Hashem corresponds to the Baruch of Olam Alshinim? Says the Gemara, echad. The word echad, that corresponds to the Pirchas Aminim. And then, according to the third opinion, by the way, the B'nai Salzka says that this whole confusion of between serving Hashem and stepping over the line only came about by the chet of the Etzadas. Etzadas Toiv Ra created a mixture, a confusion of Toiv and Ra, of good and bad. Until then, it was very clear what is Avodas Hashem and what is Avodah Zarah. But by the chait, that's where the confusion happened. Says the B'nai Soska, that's why Hashem told Adam, koitz v'dardar tatzmiach lach. That literally means thorns will start sprouting for you. So he says the word dardar is dalad resh, dalad resh. You're going to have dalad resh all over the place now. You're going to have the confusion between dalad resh is going to be all over the place. Now, according to the third opinion, that Shemen Esrei corresponds to the 18 knots in one spine, which we explained means because this opinion holds that the purpose of Shemen Esrei is to be mevatel oneself, to negate oneself totally to the bunch of the entire posture of mine is bottled to you. That's why they established 18 brachas corresponding to the 18 knots of the spine. And the Gemara says that v'lam alshinu corresponds to the chuliya ketana shebeshadra, the small knot of the spine. I believe what that is referring to is a very fine and subconscious knot in our ego. That despite the fact that we're willing to give ourselves totally over to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a little knot in our spine that we still want to hold for ourselves. We're not yet prepared to give ourselves totally over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And minus, heresy, is the thought that we really, perhaps we could manage a little on our own. Or perhaps I should maintain something for myself that I'm not totally giving over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And each and every person, it's something, some area of their life that they're not yet willing to give up. That's minus. It's heresy. So what does that correspond to? The Berchas Aminim? That Chuliya Ketana Shevshadra, that small knot in your spine, that the person in our spine, that we're not willing to give up yet to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And corresponding to that, Chazal made the bracha of Olam Al Shinim. Oh, yes, of course it's fair to ask. The answer to that question, and Paul asks, why, if it's the 19th bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, V'lam Al Shinim, it was established much later, why do they stick it in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? Why not at the end of Shemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara asks the Kasha. The Gemara gives us the Megillah of Yud Zayin. The Gemara asks the Kasha. The Gemara says that the bracha beforehand is the bracha of Mishpat, of justice. The bracha ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, Melech Oyhev Tzedakah Mishpat, the king who loves righteousness and justice. So, Tzedakah, well actually Tzedakah means charity. Tzedakah and Mishpat are opposites. Charity means not justice. That's chesed. Tzedakah and Mishpat is justice. So, how do they go together? Says the Gemara, Tzedakah l'tzadikim, or Mishpat l'rashoim. Hashem loves Tzedakah and Mishpat. Hashem loves Tzedakah for tzadikim. Hashem loves righteousness and charity for tzadikim, and justice for rashoim. Once we're talking about justice for rashoim, v'lam al shinim al tisikva, then we're going to talk about all these rashoim that we have in this bracha. The informers shouldn't have any hope. And all the heretics should be lost, should perish in an instant, and so on. And that's why, says the Tzleis Avram, the Chachan Avram says, that's why this is the only bracha that begins with a vav. Vila Malshinim and the Malshinim. Why don't you start? La Malshinim, because it's the continuation from the previous bracha. The continuation. Melech oyev tzedakah and mishpat. Mishpat l'rashayim. Right? You love give justice for the wicked. V'la malshinim. And therefore, for the malshinim al tisikva. It's a continuation. There's actually a whole machlokes. Whether it's supposed to be v'la malshinim or la malshinim. With a vav or without a vav. And the Chechanov approves that it's supposed to be with a vav, because the tour says that if you add up the first letters of every bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, the gematria of the first letters, it will come out to 1800. I did not do the math. You're welcome to do it. He said it comes out to 1800, and if you don't have a vav here, you have a lamed, you got more than 1800. It only works if you have a vav. So we say v'la malshinim with a vav. Once we came on to talking about v'leis asuru achrei devavchem, don't follow your heart, zoom minus, and Chazal say this is minus. And this is what this bracha was established for, to counter minus. And we asked before, what does that mean? That v'leis asuru achrei devavchem, don't follow your heart. This is minus. I believe that there's Chazal is telling us a very, very important, very, very important lesson. There are people that their entire approach to Yiddishkeit is because they feel that it's the right thing. Or this approach is, I just feel it's the right thing. Chazal tells us, and the pasuk says, "V'loisasuru achrei devavchem." Do not follow your heart. Your heart is not the determining factor as what Yiddishkeit is supposed to be. If you do follow your heart, says Chazal, zoom minus, you're going to end up with heresy. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to follow our logic, to follow our mind, not our heart. The fact that this feels great, or this type of this whether it's Chassidish or Litvish or Sfardish or Ashkenazish or Chvesish, this feels right. That is, say Chazal, Zuminus. It has nothing to do with the way we feel. Why did Hashem make me feel this way if that's not what he wants? Because that's called a Yetzer Hara. We're supposed to overcome that. And we have a bracha on Shemoneh Esrei to counter Minus. Minus is heresy. So last week we spoke about the fact that this bracha of Olam Al Shinem was established either right before the second base of Mikdash was destroyed, or immediately after. It was established by Rabban Gamliel and his Beis Din. Once again, a machlokes is whether it's the first Rabban Gamliel or the second Rabban Gamliel. The first Rabban Gamliel lived before the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The second Rabban Gamliel, which was his grandson, lived immediately after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Yoshke Pondrak rose to power, or his movement, the Christian movement, moved to power 150 years before the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. And they became more and more powerful over the years. This bracha was established to counter Christianity. The words of the Rambam are the following. It's the first Perek Beis Halacha Aleph Hilchos Tefillin. He writes, "Bimei Rabban Gamliel, in the days of Rabban Gamliel, Rabu Apikorsen v'Yisrael, the heretics were increased among the Jewish people. And they were harassing Bnei Yisrael and seducing them to turn away from Hashem. And when Rabban Gamliel saw that this is a necessity that is more important than all other necessities of man, Amad hu beis dinoi, he rose, he and his beis din, behiskim bracha achas, and they established one bracha shetiyaba she'ela melefnei Hashem, that there should be a request from Hashem, la'abed aminim, to destroy the heretics. The kol ha'oisa betfila, and he established it in Shemoneh Esrei, kedei shetehe shegura b'fi hakol, in order that it should be fluent in everyone's mouth. Now, this bracha, out of all the brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, this bracha has the most nuschois than any other bracha. There are so many versions of this bracha. There's the Sephardi version, the Ashkenazi version, and throughout the generations, the nusach of the bracha changed many times. And there are two reasons for this. One reason is because we were always subject to the censors. The Sidurim always went through the censors, and since this always addressed the different enemies that we faced, it was always censored. So different words were inserted. That's reason number one. Actually, three reasons. Reason number two is that, as we learned last week, Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz says that even though we no longer face the threat of the Christians, they're not, at least on a huge, they're not on a large scale, they're not pulling people away from Yiddishkeit anymore. Nevertheless, says that Rabbi Yonis, in every generation there are movements that try to pull away Yidden from Torah Judaism. And in every generation, the Bracha V'Olam Al Shinim is established to ask Hashem to get rid of whatever movement that is influencing Klal Yisrael negatively. As a result, different words were put in every generation to describe the threat. And we'll go into that, how the different Nuscha has changed. And the third reason is, and maybe the first two reasons work with the third reason, is since this bracha was not established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, whatever the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did, we're not allowed to touch. So that's why we can't change it. But this bracha, since it wasn't established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, that's why there is room for change throughout the generations according to the generation. So, according to the Rambam, this bracha was established against the negative influence of the Christian movement to pull away Yidden and turn them away from Hashem. These people are not necessarily enemies of Klal Yisrael. These are called enemies of Hashem. Therefore, at that point, when the bracha was established initially, it started v'laminim al tihi sikva. It started, and for the heretics there shall be no hope. Not like what we have. We have v'lam al shinim al tihi sikva. We have that there should not be any hope for informers. That's not how this bracha started. This bracha started v'laminim al tihi sikva. There should be no hope for heretics. And the bracha concluded, not shoyver oivim umachnia zeidim the way we have it, which is Hashem breaks the enemies and subjugates intentional sinners. No. It concluded shoyver oivim umachnia minim. He breaks the enemy and subjugates heretics. It was about heretics. And the bracha was not v'chol oive amcha, Mehido Yekaresu, not that the enemies of your nation should be cut down. V'chol oivecha, Mehido Yekaresu, was all of your enemies should be cut down. We're talking to Hashem. His enemies, those who tried to pull Eden away from Hashem, those should be cut down. That is how the bracha was initially. So the Chechenover, in his Sefer Tzlois Avram, goes through the different stages of this bracha. The next stage was when the New Testament was accepted by the nations of the world. So now, it's not right for us, says the Chechenover, to curse the nations of the world. We only had a problem with them when they were pulling away Yidden. But once the New Testament was accepted by the Goyim, so there's no reason to curse them. Let them accept the New Testament, Gesundheit. So the threat was, so we wanted to make sure that our curse was exclusive to the Jews that were converting to Christianity. So the Nusach changed. We're not cursing all the Minim anymore. We're not cursing all the heretics. Because of many Goyim that are heretics, we don't want to curse them. So it changed to V'lameshumadim al tihi sikva. And in many of the Gersois of the Sidurim of the in the times of the Rishonim, it says not V'laminim al tihi sikva, not V'lam al shinim al tihi sikva, rather it says V'lameshumadim al tihi sikva. Meshumad means someone who converts to another religion. And we're asking Hashem, the meshumadim should not have any hope. There are other sidurim that write, that have the nusach, V'lakoifrim al tihi sikva. The deniers shouldn't have any hope. So those represent the Jews that deserted the Torah life and went over to a different religion. So therefore, the Gersa was, again, Vela Meshumadim or Vela Koifrim. In the Tshuvas HaRosh, the Gersa is Vela Mumrim, Alti Yisikva. A Mumr is the same idea. A Mumr is someone who has changed over. Next generation, which is the later Tanoim, the main threat was unfortunately it was the Jews that had gone off, but they were no longer a spiritual threat to Klal Yisrael. They were a physical threat to Klal Yisrael. They just harassed us physically. So that's when the Zaydim were added to this bracha. Zaydim means intentional sinners, intentional evildoers. There were people that were just trying to harm us physically. That's where the Zaydim were introduced, and that's when the nusach of the bracha changed from v'chol oyvecha to v'chol oyve amcha. Instead of saying, and all of your enemies shall be cut down, we started saying, v'chol oyve amcha, the enemies of your nation should be cut down. And finally, in the later generations, says the Chachanover, were these same evildoers were doing their evil through informing to the different governments against us with different type of libels, whether they were true or not true, causing us a lot of harm through being informers. That is when the word Vala Malshinim was inserted. Vala Malshinim means the informers should have no hope. And that is how we finally got to where we are today. And that's when we stopped saying Vala Meshumadim, Vala Koifrim, and Mumrim. Now we say Vala Malshinim Alti Yisikva. Where we ask Hashem that the informers should not have any hope. You should know that it was considered back in Europe. I've heard this from people from Europe. It was, and it happens to be in Shulchan Aruch. It's based in Shulchan Aruch. The worst thing a Jew can do was to inform on another Yid. It was a Musar. They call it a Musar. A Musar was the worst thing a Jew could possibly do. Marrying a shiksa didn't come close to that. A Musar was mamish the worst thing in the world. And it probably is the worst thing in the world. What? Right? It's No.
Or you could just be calling the building department and say that somebody's doing work without a permit.
All right, so that's a whole shear onto its own. It's a whole shear onto its own. But it is, whatever it is, never go to any authorities without asking a shayla. Even if it's calling the neighbor, calling about the neighbor is doing something without a building permit. Anything. One should never, ever call authority without asking a shayla. There is, Mesira is a very, very, very severe offense. It's the only thing. It's the only avera that there still is a capital punishment. There's still a death. We can still kill a person. Now, bezin. We don't even need a bezin. If a person sees that a yid is going to inform on another Jew, he's allowed to kill him.
Where's that
Shulchan Aruch. What?
Who's that in Pershing's?
In Torah Shabbat Sabbath? It's not Torah Shabbat Sabbath. It's Tekonah
D'Rabbanan. You're not supposed to stop
him? What? If you can't stop, obviously. You're supposed to stop him if you can. In Europe, they used to cut off their tongue.
Used to what?
Cut off their tongue.
Are you serious?
Yeah. On that note, let's go down to Mark.